your Bibles, as always. And we're going to be in the book of Revelation, chapter 12. And before we look at that verse, I want to tell a story. And that story is about a church that wanted to reach their world for Jesus Christ. They wanted to witness, and they came up with this great idea called the gospel blimp. Might have a picture of that. There it is. Okay. They had this great idea that said, people need to hear about Jesus. And the best way they came up with on how to reach people for Jesus was, let's buy a blimp. I think they rented the blimp. Let's rent a blimp, and let's have in lights these moving messages on the side of the blimp. You know, you need Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And they had loudspeakers, which they shouted from so everyone could hear below. Now hear this. Oh, you people, you need to be born again, you know. And so that was their great idea to reach people for Jesus Christ. It was expensive, and it wasn't really that effective. As a matter of fact, I think the cartoon sort of shows it there, that people were like, what is this? They were offended by it and bothered by it, and it really wasn't that effective. But for that particular church, they thought that was a great idea, okay, the gospel blimp. And I've entitled my message this morning, The Gospel Blimp, because we can get into that same mindset. And so the gospel blimp was their idea of how to reach people for Jesus Christ. And I have a group of great ideas that our board came up with on how to reach people for Jesus Christ. And Bernie, of course, he was in business, in the sandwich business. And Bernie's idea was we should have a Subway store franchise in our foyer and charge $4 for footlongs, okay? Rather than $5 for footlongs, $4 for footlongs. And that will really bring the people in here. Now, Gary Callup, he is our treasurer on the board, and he said we should advertise Walnut Grove Church, home of the 9% tithe. Just for those people really struggling with that 10%, the 9% tithe he thought would be a great idea. And then we have Armando, he's on our board, and he said we need to promote diversity. We promote, you know, all these groups out there. And he said, we should have a Mexican hat Sunday. So we're going to purchase about 150 of those big, large sombreros, okay? And that will really flock the Hispanic community in this church. we have Bob, who said that, why don't we give, I will donate my airplane for free airplane rides for a Scare 'em to Jesus program. He said, we'll take them up. I'll cut the engine and say, you need to get saved. We're about to crash, okay? Great idea. Mike Barca, because he's sport-minded, he said, we need to organize a monthly punt, pass, and pray contest on our grounds out there. See who can pray the longest, along with punting, passing a football. And last but not least is Dr. Markle said we should have a communion and flu shot Sunday. Whereas you come through line, you take your wafer, and you roll up your sleeve, okay? So those are our ideas on how to promote our church and grow it, okay? Sort of like the gospel blimp. They're silly. But there's a point that I'm trying to make. The point is that we can easily forget as a church where the real power and effectiveness comes for reaching people for Jesus Christ. And we can get caught up in gimmicks and gadgets and marketing, And we do have marketing in our church. I mean, we believe in signage. We have signs, and we beautified a sign out there, and we have a new one on order for the end of our property. And we believe in keeping our grounds nice and attractive so people look and say, well, they take care of their grounds, so maybe they're more serious about the more important things, the spiritual things. And, you know, we have a coffee bar out there because we want to promote fellowship and community. And, you know, so there is some gadgets, you know, we have make it easier for people to see and to use our media and have something in the foyer. And, you know, so we do have things like that. And we do have marketing like that. But we can forget that that is not where the real power and effectiveness comes from. And there is this wave going through the churches of America that it's marketing, that it's gimmicks, that it's gadgets, that it's the gospel blimp, that we spend so much time and so much effort and so much money for things that really aren't that effective and really don't really hit where the problems are and don't present the most powerful thing. And I have a statement I'm going to say a few times through this message, and this statement is this: we have everything we need to powerfully reach this world for Jesus Christ. And it's not blimps, and it's not videos, and it's not coffee bars, and it's not signs. And it's not computers. It is the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of his word. And I want to read that statement again. We have everything we need through Christ to powerfully reach this world. And so if you'll look in your Bibles with me in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Revelation 12:11 says this: and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives until death. Lord, I just ask that, Father, you would take your word and you would shout it like that corny gospel blimp, but you would shout it in our heads and our hearts until we hear it. That, Lord, your blood has done it all. Your word is enough. That is what the world needs, is Jesus, not entertainment. Lord, not gimmicks, not gadgets, not programs, not marketing. They need your son. And may we present Jesus. In your name, Lord, impact us with your word this morning. Amen. Amen. Church, we've been lied to. We have been lied to by the enemy. And it's been a cumulative effect over time. We have been lied to that unless you have a certain amount of money, unless your church is in a certain community, unless you have all the bells and whistles, okay, unless you have the right background and the right grouping and demographics of people, you can't really be effective. That is what we have been subtly over time lied to. Unless you're in the suburbs, unless you have a big church, unless you have wealthy people in that church, and you have very talented, experienced people, you can't do much for Jesus. That's the lie. And that is not true. That is an insult. And that's another phrase I'll use a few times in this sermon. It is an insult. We have the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen, Rhoda? Can I get an amen? Because she said, we need to talk about the blood, right? We have the power of his word. We have the power of our testimony to touch lives. And so I'll read that verse again. Verse 11, it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of his testimony, and they loved not their lives until their death, until death. It talks about the overcoming power of the blood. It says they overcame. It's talking about the overcoming power. power of the blood. But we have to ask our question, what's it overcoming? And the answer is in the verse before, verse 10. And you want to look at that one with me. It says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." So the overcoming power is salvation that we have. It's the strength we get from God. It is the kingdom of God we now entered into, and it is the power of God to overcome the enemy. That's who we're overcoming. That's what the blood does. That's what our testimony does. It is fighting against the enemy who wants to keep us captive in his lies. And the blood gives us victory. Victory over who? Our accuser. Now, what's the accuser accuse us of? All the time, you as Christians, he'll say, "You know what? You're not really saved." Say, "No, I can't save myself." You know, you could say, "Well, devil, if you're looking at my life and how good and how perfect I am, yeah, I'm in trouble. But my hope rests in nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness, which is imputed to me by what? By his blood. I am forgiven. I am cleansed. I am accepted in the beloved. I have salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm set free from my sin." My accuser, "You're a sinner. You're a sinner. You're a sinner." Yes, I'm a sinner saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. The blood gives us victory. It gives us strength to keep going. Yeah, this world is evil. This world is hard. We talked about struggles, a little bit of struggles we've all been going through lately. But the blood of Jesus Christ daily gives me the strength to keep going. It releases me from the kingdom of darkness. I want you to look in Colossians 1:13, if you could turn to that. Colossians 1:13 says this, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." See, the enemy had us captive. The enemy had us locked. The enemy had us in chains. The enemy had us in bondage. We were slaves. We were in darkness. We were under his rule, under his kingdom. But then Christ came on the scene. Then the cross came. Then the blood of Jesus Christ was shed. And we gave our heart to him. And that blood broke the chains. That blood opened the gates. And we left his kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, and we entered into the kingdom of his Son, of light. So the accuser of the brethren says, "I got you. You're still mine." No, you're a liar, devil. I am not yours. I am God's. And the key that opened the gate was the blood of my Savior. Amen. And so we're released from that. And the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood gives us power. Because what did it say in verse 10? It said it's salvation, it's strength, it's the kingdom of God, and it's the power of Christ. The blood that we overcome our accuser with gives us power to fight. That's why we can pray for you intercessors out there and the ones who've given testimony. Yeah, we're seeing God's miracle. We're seeing God do things. We're not at the mercy of the enemy. We see what the enemy's doing in this world, but we are not helpless and powerless. We have the blood of Jesus Christ. And you know me, I've said this before. I don't believe that we pray ritualistic prayers. And I don't believe in magic words in Christianity. But there is power when we say, "In the name of Jesus Christ, through the blood My Savior, I come against you, devil. I come against you, circumstance. I come against you, situation. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, I have been given strength, and I've been given salvation, and I've entered into the kingdom of God, and I have the power of Christ. That is what we have through the blood. You know what the world is looking for, folks? You know what the world is looking for? The world is looking for peace, not pizza. Now, we have nights where we'll, like, on our Fortress of Solitude, we'll have our dinner together afterwards. Sometimes we've had pizza. We've had all kinds of things, okay? At our harvest party or Halloween all term, we get food when people come in. Sometimes they get hot dogs. Sometimes they get pizza. But you know what the world is looking for? It's looking for peace, not for a piece of pizza. And we have been lied to by the devil that it's marketing. Have a meal. Give them free food. Give them lattes. You know, make your coffee bar out there like it's Starbucks. And you know what? People will come, but they won't come for Christ. They'll come for the free latte. People don't need pizza. They need the peace of God. People are looking for freedom. People are looking for freedom, not freebies, okay? Now, if you're a first-time visitor, when you come, we're going to give you a little packet. I don't remember what is all in that packet. At times, we've given out coffee cups. Probably everyone in this church has a Grove coffee cup. You know, you've been here for years, and you're still getting a coffee cup. How many coffee cups you got at home, okay? We don't charge for that here. We're glad to have you. Here's a package of candy, or, you know, here's a coffee cup. Here's a freebie. Welcome. People don't need freebies. They need freedom. That's what they're looking for. People are looking for grace, not games, not entertainment. People are looking for promise, not programs. And I'm going to say, we're going to have media, and you're still going to get your coffee and donuts out there. Don't get scared, okay? Don't get scared. You'll get your coffee and donut, all right? But woe unto us if we make that the main thing. Woe unto us if that's what we are promoting. The free coffee and donuts Sunday. The Mexican hat day. I'm sorry, we're not going with that, Armando. Sorry. We need to promote the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what you need. That's what's going to help you. That's what we're going to preach. And then after we preach it and we prayed for you, come and have a donut, okay? You know, when it's hot, let's cool the building down. When it's cold, let's warm the building up. When something's dirty, let's clean it. When something's broke, let's fix it. But that is not what's going to touch this world. It is the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of his word. Because it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives until death. Is the power of his word, okay? Talks about our testimony there. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But there is no real testimony without testifying of his word, okay? Because there's lots of self-help programs out there. Go to this and, you know, this will fix you and that. When we get saved, when we get changed, when we get healed, we'll tell people, I no longer take drugs. I no longer drink. I no longer am angry. My marriage is better. You know, I have a job. I couldn't keep a job. I have a job now. I'm reconciled to my children. We have all those testimonies. But in the next breath should come what? But it's what Christ has done. It is his word that changed my life. I want you to look in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. Isaiah 55:11 says this, so shall my word that goes forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing wherefore I sent it. You know, we read that verse, and it's talking about the power of the word of God, how God uses it, and how it does, it's effective, and how even with, we're not even aware what God's doing behind the scenes, and his word, you know, just works on people's hearts. But we can, through that verse, forget the first few words. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It needs to come out of our mouth. We need to be proclaiming Jesus, proclaiming the blood of Jesus Christ, proclaiming salvation, giving glory and testimony to Christ. You have to open up your mouth for that. You know that every significant spiritual thing recorded in the Bible has to do somewhat with your tongue and your mouth. How'd you get saved? If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is the Lord, you'll be saved. It says also in another gospel, Jesus says, unless you confess me for men, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. But if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. It has to do with our mouth. Church, the world does not need another coffee bar. They don't need another pizza. They need people speaking Christ's word, lifting up his name, telling people it's through the blood of Jesus Christ. I love that we have Living in Victory here. You know, we call it a 12-step program. And there are 12-step programs like Alcoholics Anonymous, AA. But one of the things we have a real problem with AA is it says choose your spiritual higher power or whatever, just whatever works. I'm going to tell you, our higher power has a name, and his name is Jesus Christ, okay? But how is the world going to know if you don't say it? Because the world, I hope your family's together. I hope your kids are doing well. I hope your marriage is doing great. I hope your health is awesome. But the people, when they see everything in order in your life, most people don't automatically connect that to God. They connect that to luck. Luck of your genes, luck of your upbringing, luck of your financial situation. We need to say, hey, if you see anything good in me, if you see anything, you say, man, you sure things are going well in that area. We need to say, well, you know why? It's because Jesus Christ is in my life. We need to give him glory for that. It says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but the mighty to pulling down his strongholds. There is power in the word of God. Okay? When I was over in Samoa, young green pastor, new missionary, quickly share this story. Someone comes to me and says, I have my cousin's not feeling well. Could you come over and pray with him? I said, sure, I'll go over and pray with him. I wasn't there a few minutes. It became very obvious. This young man was demon-possessed. I mean, we're talking the real deal, spooky, crazy, like, whoa, demon-possessed, okay? And it wasn't take two aspirin and call me in the morning. He needed Christ. He needed deliverance. And so I began to pray for him. You know, the normal prayer, and pray in the name of Jesus if anybody has ever done spiritual warfare, it is warfare. It is warfare. And it is not a lay me down to sleep prayer, like in the name of Jesus, okay, bye. You know, it is battle. It is battle, okay? So I'm battling. I have another church, an elder with me, and we're praying for this person. But you know what I noticed is when I began to open up the Word of God and began to read the Word of God, that demonic spirit began to go nuts. It did not want to hear the Word of God. And I'm reading the Word of God, and I gave the Bible, the young man I was praying for, who's going through these demonic commotions, okay? I gave him the Bible. I said, here, you hold the Bible. He could not hold it. He would scream and drop it. And so I said, well, that's enough of that. You're holding it. And so we helped him. We held it in his hands, on his chest, near his heart, as we began to proclaim the Word of God and read verse upon verse of the Word of God as he had the physical Word of God in his hand. And you know, he was delivered. He was delivered. But the point of that story is this. The effectiveness began, the breakthrough began when we began to speak the Word. Because there is power in the Word of God. But we have been told, we have been lied to, church, that it's not enough. It's not enough just to have the Bible. It's not enough. You know, you have to have full productions up here. You know, your pastor has to be not only a gifted speaker and have letters after his name, but he has to be a comedian too, you know? And we have belittled and we have lessened the power of the Word of God, that it is powerful in itself. And that's why I want to say that phrase again. Church, we have everything we need to powerfully touch this world for Jesus Christ. Amen. Now I want to read verse 11 in Revelation 12, 11 again. It says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives until their death. It's the power of our testimony. It's Christ seen in us. Okay? There's a neat verse in 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, verse 3. It says this. Paul's writing to the Corinthians. He says, they can see that you're a letter from Christ. This is in the Living Bible. It says, they can see you're a letter from Christ written by us. It is not a letter written with pen and ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not carved on stone, but in human hearts. It's saying that Christ in us, there is a testimony to the world that it's not you, that it's not just your willpower. It's not just luck of the draw that you were born in America. It's not just luck of the draw that you happen to be born in a family that was more stable and not dysfunctional. It's just luck of the draw that you ended up in a school district, that you got a better education, and then that translated into a better job. It is our testimony that people look at us and they don't see our background as far as what's touched us. They don't see the benefits of your upbringing as what's touched you. They see Jesus Christ in you and say, that's the difference in that person. It's the undeniable argument. The undeniable argument in John chapter 9, verse 25. Where you have the man born blind, and the Pharisees and Sadducees are trying to find ways to belittle the ministry of Jesus Christ. And so they keep confronting this blind man who has his sight back and saying, come on, we know that Jesus, he's no good. We know that Jesus hangs out with sinners. We know that Jesus is a sinful guy. How would a real prophet of God, you know, be born in Nazareth? How would a real prophet of God even hang out with some of these detestable, low-life people? He can't be from God. And what's his argument? He says, whether he's good or bad, I really don't know much the background of Jesus, but I know this. When he prayed for me, I was once blind, and now I see. That's the undeniable argument. And that's the undeniable argument. We say to people, we say, there is power in Jesus. I was once an alcoholic and I'm not. I was once a drug addict and I'm not. My life was in such disarray, no longer. I was an angry, depressed individual and I'm no longer. I was aimless and didn't know where I was going. He put me back and gave me direction. And then we use our mouth and we speak. And we say, it's when I bowed my knee to Jesus Christ and his blood forgave me and cleansed me and changed me. And I was once in bondage, and now I have freedom. And the only thing that made it work was Jesus Christ. That's the undeniable argument that the world needs to hear. I'm going to close with these thoughts. To say we need a fancier church or more programs or more talented people or more gadgets and gimmicks and freebies is an insult to the sacrifice and the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. Because when we say that and think that way, we are saying, Jesus, you're cool, but you're not enough. Jesus, your word is pretty fascinating, but it's not really doing the trick in people. Jesus, lifting you up is not enough marketing for us. We need something more. It's an insult to the power of churches that are smaller than the mega church. Because that is the lie, that the only ones who can really impact this world are the churches that have enough manpower and enough money. That's an insult to every church that has 100 people. That's an insult to the church that has a few families. That is an insult to the churches that are in poor communities like Clareton. That's an insult in saying to them in a subtle way, and the enemy saying in a loud way, you'll never do much for God because you're not in Bethel Park. You'll never do much for God until you break that 500 barrier of people. And it is an insult to you as an individual Christian. Because what the devil is saying, unless you have really fantastic talent and you're really influential and you really have money, you can't do much. But I'm here to tell you that you have everything you need. If you have a testimony, if you speak the word, and you have the blood of Jesus Christ that covers you, you have everything you need to touch this world for God. Let's pray. Father, forgive us for at times buying into that lie that you are not enough. You are the only thing that's enough. And so, Lord, I pray you'd help each one of us individually to come to that place where we have a boldness. It says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony all the way until the day they died. Lord, let us, until the day you call us home or you take us home, Lord, let us, Lord, proclaim the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. The blood of Jesus Christ defeats the enemy. The word of God will go forth. And even if it comes from stammering lips, an uneducated background, young or old, your word is a sword. And it cuts to the heart of man. And we might proclaim your word and never see that person again, but Lord, your word is going to work day and night in their heart. And Lord, let us never forget that, Lord, every good thing we have in our life, God, it came from your hand. May we constantly lift you up before man. I don't know everything about God. I don't know every scripture. I don't know all the answers in theology. But I know this. I once was lost, and now I'm found. And it was through Jesus. God, let us take that, and we say to you, it is enough, Lord. thank you for giving us everything we need. In Christ's name, amen. Bless you, church. Go back, go out and talk about Jesus. We'll see you on Wednesday. Bless you.